We are looking at the last of the Apostles' Creed. As we come to the end of the Apostles' Creed, we come to the end of my ministry among you as the last day of the year and the last day that I will be with you for this time period. And the Lord knows what the future will hold. As we approach this, we're looking at the last few verses or the last few phrases of the Apostles' Creed, which are, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And the last word is, Amen. All of those three go together. So as we look at this, we're going to be looking at it as one complete thought as we consider the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. As I contemplated doing this message, I thought, how do I do all of those in one message? Because just the resurrection of the dead would take one sermon at least. And when it comes to the life everlasting, that's at least a 10-part series. And when you come to Amen, well, Amen's pretty easy. It's just Amen. All God's people said, Amen. Amen. So I'm going to do that a little bit differently. The final statement of the Apostle Creed deals with everlasting life, our eternal destiny, and our eternal state. It's appropriate that this is the last message that I'm preaching to you, and I can talk about that wonderful time that the Lord has for us in our everlasting life. As we look at the end of the year, it is important for us to recognize that everything in life that we know of has an end. Everything has an end. Everything has a beginning, but everything also has an end. I received a note from my brother today, and I thought it was funny, so I'd share it with you. My brother Steve is a kind of a comedian, and he says, I don't want to brag, but I have enough money to live comfortably for the rest of the year. And I thought, that's funny. You know, we look at our resources and everything else, and we have just enough for the end of this day, and that's the end of the year. But everything has a beginning and an end. If you take your Bible, it has a beginning, and it has an ending, and God has ordained that. Nothing in this world is eternal. Everything passes away. Everything has a beginning. Nothing lasts forever. The life God created in the Garden of Eden had a beginning, but it also had an ending. The soul that sins, it will die. And so Adam and Eve had to die, and all men have died from the beginning of creation. The soul that sins, it shall die, says the word of the Lord. People die, animals die, vegetations die, even insects die, as we know this morning. Our little spider friend is no longer with us. The earth will die, it will pass away, it will be destroyed. And Peter says it will be destroyed with a fervent heat. There's an end to everything. And someone has once summed it all up and said, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I want to point you to three verses this morning. And we're going to look at those verses and look at the end of all things. Revelation 21:5, Jesus says, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord Jesus says, I'm making all things new. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, he says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. You do not perceive it, but I'm making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And then finally, Isaiah 65, verse 17, the Lord says, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. God has given us this wonderful promise of the resurrection from the dead. Those that belong to Christ will be resurrected to everlasting life. And those who do not know Christ as their Savior, who have walked away from Him, will be raised for everlasting punishment. Our focus this morning is going to be on God's farewells. God's farewells. There are three of them I want to talk about this morning. One is the farewell to the church. That applies to us here today. And then there's the farewell to the body. Every one of us has a body. Take a moment and look at yours. Not getting any better, is it? It's getting older. It's getting more decrepit. It's getting more wrinkled. It's getting broken. It gets sick easily. All of those things are part of the body. And we say farewell to the body. And finally, we say farewell to this earth as God has ordained it. First of all, we look at farewell to the church. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church after spending 3 years in Ephesus. And I think that's significant. The Apostle Paul spent 3 years and he said, I prayed with you, I preached to you, I taught you, I visited with you, I did all the things God told me to do, and now my job is done and God is urging me to go on to Jerusalem to what he has before. And I look at that and I think that's similar to what God has placed before us. God put me in this place for 3 years. And I've preached to you the Word of God. I have taught you. We have led you. And we have desire to lead you in the path that God wants us to go. But there comes a time of an end. There's a beginning and there's an end. And that end is the time of new beginnings. Jesus said farewell to his disciples. There was a beginning. He was born in a manger. And there was an ending. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And then he ascended to the Father. Before he ascended to the Father, he said his final farewell. And you'll find that in John chapter 13 through 17, Jesus says farewell to his disciples. And finally, we see that all of the great men of God had their farewells. Jesus had his farewell. Paul had his farewell. Moses said farewell to the people. Joshua said farewell to the people. People need to understand that times come and times change. People come and people go. God has ordained us to be here for 3 years, and we thank God for every day. You have blessed us. You've been an encouragement to us, and I'm happy to look out at you and see your non-smiling faces. No, to see your smiling faces. We will not forget you because we walk away. We don't forget you because we say farewell. We say farewell and see you later. Because we will see you again. Some of you will see us in the supermarket. Some of you will see us at Sheets. Some of you will see us and stop by the house to say hello. And that's okay. But the farewell is that acknowledgement that a period of time has ended and something new has come. Michael W. Smith has sung for many years. And one of the favorite songs back in the 80s, I think it was Friends. And he sang that. And I remember seeing the video of all the students, the thousands of them. And they're holding each other's arms and they're rocking back and forth as he sings this song. So we're going to play that and I'll let you rock with him. Okay? Thought of closing with that, but then I'd see you all tearing up and holding each other and just sobbing. And I don't want that. The farewell is not a time for sobbing. It's a time for saying, we'll see you later. Because even if we never meet here on earth, we're going to meet again in heaven. When we walk through those pearly gates, we will see you if you know Christ as your personal Savior. So the first farewell is the farewell to the church. The second farewell I see in Scripture and in the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting is the farewell to the body. We all know our bodies. We know it very well. If you lived very long, you know that your body is withering away. Your body is not doing well. In Psalm 90, the psalmist laments that. He says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that's gone by. or like a watch in the night. You swept them away. You swept them to death. And they are like the new grass in the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, in the evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, and in the light of your presence. All the days of our lives are spent in your wrath. We finish our years with a moan, and the length of days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. And yet their span is troubled and filled with sorrow. And we quickly pass away, for we fly away. And then Solomon, in all his wisdom, tells us about that last day in which we live. He says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, when the evil days come not or the years draw nigh, when I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, and when the doors of the street are closed and the sound of the grinding fades, and when men rise to the sound of the birds, but all the songs grow faint, and when men are afraid of heights and dangers in the streets, and when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, desire no longer stirs, then man returns to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him, therefore, remember the Lord, before the silver cord is severed, before the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel is broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground from which it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. We are reminded in Scripture that we are here, and we don't live a long life. Some of you have lived 90 years, and that's commendable. But the Lord says every one of us is going to pass away. Like the flower that fades, our bodies will fade. And this year, some of you have realized your bodies are kind of sputtering and not as strong as they used to be. Is that a sad thing? Yes, it's sad for the moment, but it's a good thing because we remember that we fly away. When this body passes away, we have a body that God created us for us in heaven that will never pass away. And we will live in life everlasting. It's important for us to remember these things. And finally, there's the farewell to the earth. It's very emphatic in Scripture that the earth will pass away and everything in it will be consumed. And Peter says it will melt with a fervent heat. And so we are people that understand that our life is but for a moment here, but we have a home for us in heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you are, where I am, there you may be also." Thomas says unto him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "That's simple. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said to all of his people, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not," what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." This is the truth that God has given to us, that we have in Christ an everlasting life, a life that will not fade away because God has prepared it for us in heaven. As we look at everlasting life, often we look at dying as the end. And it's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of something new. It's the beginning of a new adventure. It's the beginning of a new home, a new place that God has prepared for us that love Him. If any of you play golf, and I know Noel does, you probably know what a mulligan is. A mulligan is, Paul, you know this too, don't you? I bet that last time you played, you took some mulligans, did you? Yeah. Okay, I do too because I'm not a good golfer. And good golfers that aren't professional and aren't playing for high stakes have this rule that if you muff a shot, if you take off, usually it's a drive, and you're ready to go, and you're all practiced up. You were on the driving range, everything's sharp, you know what you're doing, and you go, whoop, and you miss the ball completely. How many of you have ever had that happen? Two of us. Oh, more. Okay, good. It's an embarrassing moment when your friends are standing there, and you got four guys, and they're waiting for you to tee off, and you tee off and miss the ball. What do? We say, "Mulligan! I get a mulligan." That means I get to reset the ball and try again. You know, God has ordained that we should have a mulligan of this life. We may have screwed up everything in this life. Everything may have gone wrong. But God says there's an end to that and there's a new beginning. It's a mulligan where God is the God of do-overs. God is the God who makes all things new again. As a matter of fact, God speaks in His Word and calls Jesus Christ the morning star. Do you know what the morning star is? The morning star is Venus. And Venus is the last star in the sky to disappear before the sun comes up. And it's there while the sun begins to rise, and it remains in the sky until the sun is fully up. And that is Jesus. He is our hope and our assurance of a new day. He is the light of the eternal day. And when the star appears, it is a sign that a new day is beginning. And so when we say farewell to one another in this life, we know that we have a life that God has prepared for us. It is a new day. It is a place that God has prepared for everyone who loves Him. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. It's a wonderful passage. You can read chapter 21 and chapter 22 as we come to the end of all things. It's after all of those things took place, the Antichrist and the final war and the battles, and Satan is defeated for the final time. And in chapter 21 it speaks, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write these things down. These words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.'" You see, there's an end, but there's a beginning. And that beginning is a lifetime of being in the presence of the Lord. I love that passage in Isaiah that says, "We will have no memory of the former things." Can you imagine going to heaven with all the rejoicing, the streets of gold, the multitudes of people that we've known in life that meet us at the gate, and walking into those streets of gold and then looking backwards and thinking, "Oh, but look at what I left behind. Look at the things that I'm going to miss." And then you remember all the tragedies. You remember all the bad things that happened to you. And God says that won't happen. Because the moment we walk into heaven, there's a great gulf fixed. There's a great chasm between us and earth. And we can't go back. And we won't want to go back. For everything is brand new. And this is the life we were created for. We will say, as with Adam and Eve, "This is what God has ordained for me." For heaven is the place that God has prepared for those that love Him. Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden. And it was perfect. And God wanted it to be perfect. Because He wanted them to be happy. He wanted them to be joyful. But Adam and Eve sinned and they lost that wonderful privilege. Their paradise was lost. But God says, "Do not fear, for I have a plan. I'm going to send my Son to die on the cross for your sins and to pay the penalty that you cannot pay. I am going to send my only begotten Son that He will die in your place. He will pay for your sins so that you may be forgiven and that you might have that life everlasting that I intended you to have in the Garden of Eden." Heaven is God's do-over for us. In fact, God is such a great do-overer. He says, "I will destroy the earth and the heaven and create a new earth and a new heaven, and there you will dwell in righteousness forever and ever." And even Presbyterians have to say, "Amen. Amen." God has prepared that place for those that love Him. And when we walk into those streets of gold, it's the last of some things. It's the last of our temptations, the last of our troubles, the last of our trials, the last of our traumas of earth. And then it's the last trumpet that sounds, and the dead in Christ rise first and to be with the Lord. And it's the last tears we will ever shed, for He will wipe away every tear from the eye. And we won't remember the former things. I make all things new. This is the hope that we have in Christ. So when you read or when you quote the Apostles' Creed and you come to that final word, it says, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting." The following word is the end of the Apostles' Creed. It is the word, "Amen." If I can leave Ebenezer Presbyterian Church with one thing. It's God who has ordained that you should say Amen. For the conclusion of all of those recitations of what we believe is followed by, I believe it. It is so. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I know that's a lot. So I'm going to ask you just to remember to say Amen. Because that's the affirmation that God gives. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great Amen. He is the final word of everything. As we conclude all of this Apostles' Creed, we come down to this, that there are three things in the Apostles' Creed that we can be assured of. Number one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in charge of everything. The Lord is in charge of everything, and nothing is impossible for Him. Can you remember that? God is on the throne. He never got off the throne, and He's never going to get off the throne. Everything is in His power, and He could do all the impossible things that you can never do. The second thing is sin. God has dealt with our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose again and ascended to the Father to deal with our sin. What did He deal with? He gives us forgiveness that is freely, fully, and forever. Write that down. Freely, fully, and forever. God has dealt with our sin. We don't need to be bemoaning our sin. Even when you sin now, God says you have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus has dealt with our sin. Yeah. Connie, I'm going to leave it to you to keep going with this, that they can say Amen every Sunday. It's important. The last thing we see, God does the impossible. He's in charge of everything. God has dealt with our sin. And finally, God restores all things. God restores all things. That's what this last phrase is about. God restores everything by the resurrection of the body and giving us a new body. A heavenly body, and then a new heaven and a new earth wherein we will dwell forever and ever and ever. I can't even conceive of what forever is. Can you? Forever. Now, I've been alive some years now, 76, so they tell me. Some of you have been alive 90 years, and that's commendable. But can you think of what forever would be like? Would you like to live in this body? Forever? Uh-uh. It only gets worse from here. So I'm thankful that God has prepared a new body for us wherein we'll live forever and ever and ever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm going to leave a picture of myself with you folks, and it's going to be on the platform. I'm going to hold my hand to my ear. The Amen. That's the Amen. The final solution is that the Lord restores all things, and He makes all things new. He makes us new. There'll be no more parting, no more farewells, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness, no more death. It's all gone away because God has prepared a place for us in heaven. If you don't know Him today, He's calling on you to receive Him as Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ died not just to show you that He loves you, but to invite you to invite Him to come into your life and forgive your sins and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So in that last day of judgment, when God opens the books, He's going to open a book and He's going to find your name there. And He's going to say, well done, a good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the assurance that we have in Jesus Christ, for all of these affirmations in the Apostles' Creed and that final Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You have done everything for us. And all we need to do is to lean on You and trust You for our salvation and for our preservation. We thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. We thank You for this church. Ask Your blessing on it and that You would increase its multitude, that it would grow, that You would give them a pastor that will lead them to pastures green and to beside the still waters, that they would find rest in the Lord. Father, we thank You that we can rejoice in the Lord in these wonderful truths. Now, embed them in our hearts, Lord, that we might know for once and for all time that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, in Jesus' name, Amen.